everyone. Welcome to, oh, wait, we have the wrong show up. Do you notice that, Brad?
Is it Teach Better Today? Is Teach Better Tonight? Streaming live. I'm not sure what's going on here. This is amazing. I love it.
We have the wrong show up, and it took all the way for me to click the button to be like, this isn't right. Please hold. What is this show called? The Sunday
Weekly. Sunday Weekly Warm Up. There we go. Although we did look pretty classy with the Teach Better Today background there. We looked like we were getting set up for the evening show of new hard-hitting news and, you know, education stories, you know, as we do.
I guess. Yikes. If you are listening to this after the fact on Teach Better Talk podcast, just know that this has already been a real big success thus far with the wrong imaging. But hi, everyone. Happy Sunday. It's not Teach Better Today morning show. We are actually, in fact, here for our Sunday weekly warm-up. This is a weekly show where we are able to pop in on Sunday with our community live and actually take questions, talk shop, invite guests, and do all the things. We're currently having some tech problems with our guests, so hoping we're able to get them in. Otherwise, we have a number of different listener questions that you all have written in. We are also, just to add some strangeness to the day, not streaming in our private Facebook group because Facebook has changed its rules and we're working on that. But we are streaming on our Teach Better Team Facebook page, which we would always encourage you all to go like and be a part of the fun news going on there on a daily basis. So we are actually going to transition into our intro and try and start this over. We'll be right back. Embarrassed to say, my name is Ray Hewart. I'm here with Brad Hughes, and this has been just my favorite episode ever.
What day of the week is it? Is it actually Sunday? It's got to be Monday somewhere in the world, Ray, where we're streaming live on Facebook and our Teach Better Team Facebook page. Good Sunday evening to everybody.
Yeah, friends, if you missed the beginning, this was a rough one. So we're glad to be doing the hiccups for you. I like to say, Brad, it's if we make a mistake on the show, then somebody else doesn't have like that hiccup for the day. We've already done it for them. So I'm just going to take this as a win for everyone else who thought their day, maybe you were like looking out being like, oh no, when's the ball going to drop? It's not. We got you taken care of. You're good for the day.
Well, I think anyone tuning in is saying to themselves, wow, Ray and Brad, this is your mistake of the day. Sunday evening at 8 Eastern. This was your mistake of the day. I mean, Ray, I'm going to tell you, I've been making mistakes all day, and I think making mistakes is kind of underrated. I mean, I've got a colleague who says, well, there's my mistake of the day. I've got it out of the way, and it's all about the modeling. It's all about we bounce back, and I think we bounce back with humor, excitement. We're welcoming everybody in. I think it's going to be a great show.
I mean, I just can't believe that we sat here and talked for like 10 minutes catching up before we went live for Sunday Weekly Warm-Up, and neither of us noticed that we were on the wrong background. But at this point, we can change any background you guys want. So if any of you are interested in having the show change names midway through, just let us know and we'll change it in the background. When I jumped on, it was the Aspire to Lead podcast. Joshua Stamper must have been recording recently. So who knows? Maybe we'll just go back to 12 Hour Live midway through the show. And
that's such an amazing lineup here on StreamYard. The Sunday Weekly Warm-Up, the Aspire to Lead, 12 Hour Live, of course, Teach Better Today. If you're watching and listening live right now, hit us up in the comments and let you know what a great alternate name for tonight's show might be. Sunday Weekly Warm-Up, of course, streams live every week, Sunday at Eastern, with yours truly and my co-host with the most on the Lake Michigan coast, Ray Hewart, CXO of the Teach Better team. And if you've got a different idea, let us know what's coming to mind for you. What might be an alternate name for our show tonight?
You know, Brad, I just looked. We also have the Daily Drop-In, which I know many of our community were fans of. So the Daily Drop-In is also here. We could bring that back. There's so many options. Good to see all of you. Thanks for tuning in live. We love being able to be here live with you to, I don't know, brainstorm your questions, see how you are. I'd love to start us off. If any of you in the comments are willing to share a positive that you had this weekend, Brad and I were kind of discussing that prior to the show. Yeah. Fred, my positive was that I got to see my parents last night. We always just have so much fun. They drove over to my neck of the woods and we had dinner and shopped and, you know, probably had one too many beverages, but it was a blast. I love that. My parents are the most fun people on the planet. And Brad, you had a lot to celebrate. You have a lot going on in your crew.
Yeah, thanks. First of all, I just want to say it delights me whenever I see you and your mom and dad together. What an amazing family. And your sister and brother-in-law, are they also close? Are they close by now? I can't remember.
No, but they live in Columbus now. So right. Not far, but it's like 5 hours. We did last night book a trip that we're going to go see them in just like 2 weeks. So I'm amazing. So excited to get the crew together.
Oh, that's fantastic. And we're celebrating my daughter's 22nd birthday this week. And so she's celebrating with friends this weekend. It's only a week, Ray, until the Miami Grand Prix. This is a off weekend for Grand Prix Formula One race fans. Busy in the workshop, busy getting ready for school. It's an important time of year as we wind up our school year into May and June here in Southern Ontario. And I know it's a very busy and exciting time for lots of educators for lots of different reasons. And we had sort of a pre-opening of our trailer. Our trailer season is coming up on May weekend. Hang on, Mother's Day weekend is coming up soon. So we're fortunate to have a little vacation spot beside Lake Huron. And so we were doing a little cleanup and a little pre-opening kind of organization today.
Oh, I love that Janelle is talking about prom. I saw so many prom photos. And Janelle, I saw your family specifically. Photos were amazing. But for many of you that even are just tuning in after the fact, I love seeing the family posts that come through. For those of you that follow the Teach Better team on multiple platforms, where also you share, not just the team sharing out information, but you also sharing, whether it be your professional expertise, or your personal life, which I really like to see. So many cool prom pictures I saw today. Lots of fun dress colors and kids that have suddenly turned into adults. I don't know what happened, but that was a fun.
I think those are the things that touch my heart, Ray, is those heartfelt reflections from parents and caregivers about how their child has grown and into a young adult and accomplishing so many things. And just that spirit of celebration, independence, just you're on the edge of something really exciting when you're a teenager, a young adult heading to prom, whether it's your first prom or it's your senior prom. Just lots of hope, lots of expectation, and lots of reason to celebrate. And I feel great that so many young people involve their entire families in that celebration, because it takes a village to raise a kid. And every adult that impacts a child's life is important. So, you know, it's a celebration of everybody that's poured their heart and soul and their good wishes in.
That's so fun. I love even the posts of different things going on is so great. Brad, do you remember what you wore to prom? Did you go to prom?
I went to a few. I went to my own prom, and I was fortunate enough to go with some friends to work friends from work to their proms as well. I do remember what I wore. It was kind of a tuxedo with a very light blue bow tie and cummerbund to match my date's dress, and of course the boutonnieres and the corsages and the photos on the family lawn and the photos with the pets, and it was a really good time. Yeah, so I think one day for our Sunday Weekly Warm, we'll have to do some throwback photos of maybe our proms, Ray, or invite people to send in their prom pictures.
I would love that, because even just seeing our community here show up in the comments live, or if you're commenting after the fact, I would love to see the different evolution of these incredible educators in our Teach Better family, the life before the teaching days, right?
You know, if this is going to be in our Teach Better Facebook page, I wonder if it would be possible for anyone watching and listening at some point in the comments just to drop an attachment of a prom photo or something that they're celebrating. But it'd be great to do some Teach Better throwback to celebrate our Sunday Weekly Warm Up here.
Yeah, I don't think you can post photos in the comments. I've thought about this. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. That should be a feature that Facebook does. I think you can only do emojis, but friends, like, post a prom picture just because it's a good season to do so, and then tag the Teach Better team. Tag Brad and I. We would love to.
That's a great idea.
See it. That's so funny. Oh, yeah. Prom, so fun.
Brianne says she's going to post her throwback and tag both of us. So that's great, Brianne Fettel. teacher, author, Teach Better team member, friend, minivan driver extraordinaire. Brianne was my my chauffeur through Columbus, through Akron, yeah, when we did our Teach Better 22. And we'll always remember that wonderful time Brianne shared in the driver's seat. It's wonderful.
So fun. Also, shout out to Brianne. One of her books is being featured right now. For those of you who are still looking for a teacher appreciation gift, yep, that you might be either giving your children's teachers, or maybe you're giving it to your colleagues, or your leadership team is sharing it out. We're doing a bunch of stuff over at teachbetter.com with Teach Better books. Like, you know, Brianne's children's book that just came out that was featured recently, Joshua Stamper's Aspire to Lead, Teachers Deserve It, Teach Better. We're giving some great discounts on bundles for those, for you guys to pick those up and kind of spread the love, spread the goodness that we can share during Teacher Appreciation Week. I will say, Brad, we have a lot planned internally for our team that we'll be sharing out to the community to celebrate Teacher Appreciation Week. So definitely keep your eyes peeled for that. Mark that on your calendar, second week of May.
Hey, if you're watching us live, you can see a pic of Brianne's new book, Cooper's Comics. This is actually from a Canadian website. A Canadian bookseller called Indigo Chapters is stocking Brianne's book. So I'm excited that your book is available, Brianne, in both sides of the border. And I'm sure it's available worldwide through your favorite bookseller. Congratulations. That's amazing.
I love the idea of Teacher Appreciation Week being more than just a cheesy note and like a mint. Like, we have to do more. We have to do better. And so I just feel like books are a great way. Even if you're re-gifting a book you have that you're like, wow, this made an impact, I'm going to pass this on to another teacher. Or if you're going to buy a bulk book and, you know, kind of get that for everybody in your crew. Or I don't know. I think that that's kind of like a part of something that keeps on giving, you know?
I think these opportunities to recognize and celebrate the contributions that educators make, there's all kinds of days, whether it's a admin assistant day or a custodial facilities day or educator day. I think it's essential to have these days to have the opportunity to say thank you to those that we serve and those that we work with. I really do hope that everyone watching and listening is contributing to a culture where you feel welcome and you feel celebrated each and every day. But it is really important to do both, to have that special day of celebration and recognition for all that educators do and contribute.
Yes, so good. Janelle, thank you for the compliment about my background. I really appreciate it. And since we're talking about books, Brad, can I grab something up on my shelves that, if any of you have a friend that have written a book, this might be a good gift for them too. I think this is one of my favorite gifts I've received. Yeah?
Oh, 100%.
All right. I know from the background, this just looks like a white frame, but there's actually numbers here.
Yep.
And this was given to me by my friends after we wrote my first book, which I wrote with Jeff Gargis, Chad Shkowski, and Tiffany Ott, called Teach Better. This is the Library of Congress call number for my first book. And I love that they, you know, posted it in like such an elegant font. There's a little small fade reminder of what it is in the corner. Yep. And then this beautiful, this was like maybe one of my favorite gifts I've ever received. It was so, I don't know how you get more personal than this, but it also felt like something I would keep my entire life.
What a cool memento and what a cool reflection on yourself and your growth as an author and educator, but anyone that has brought a book to life, that book is now, well, you've got the Library of Congress number. It's there for posterity. It's there as a record of your contribution. What a really cool and humbling experience.
I thought it was an incredible gift. I would have never thought of that as something, but yeah, if any of you have friends that have written books recently, or you yourself just want to celebrate the hard work you've done, obviously keeping your book close by, being able to feature it, like all those things are great. To me, this felt so original. And it already, you know, came framed, and it was just something. I've traveled with it ever since we wrote that book and came out in 2019. And I've always kept it with me in my office. So I probably should do the same for other books that I've worked on, but that's a special one for sure.
Well, I think the Ray Hewart Library should be right there. Talk about the Library of Congress. I mean, the Teach Better Library, the Ray Hewart Commemorative Teach Better Library could be right there on your shelf there.
Oh my God. Thank goodness. We have plenty of Teach Better family members that have written great books to be on my shelf. It should not be mine. Oh, I don't know.
It's incredible. I mean, the Teach Better community continues to shine in so many ways. And let's not forget, publishing a book and an awesome achievement and accomplishment. Also over on teachbetter.com, we've got an incredible array of writers that are writing in short form. So we've got bloggers who are publishing blogs, and shout out to Carrie Pitstick on our Teach Better team who keeps that writing alive, benefiting everybody. It's topical. It's entertaining. It's informative, and it gives everyone a chance to stretch and to flex that writing muscle. Right. And I know that you're an avid blogger and contributor as well, right?
You know, it's such a good reminder, Brad, to bring that up. I'm so glad you brought that up, because that blog is busy. There is so much content going on there. These are from authors and bloggers from all over the world that are contributing to teachbetter.com. Huge shout out to our blog team, Carrie Pitstick and Sarah Jesse, who are making those come to life on a weekly basis. But yeah, if you don't have that maybe in your routine, I would add a day to just pop over to teachbetter.com/blog. And check out what's new. It's really just, there's so much stuff there. Like I popped in there the other day. Brad, thanks for pulling that up.
Yeah.
There's just so much content there, all on different topics. You can search. I love that there's some features there from other things that we do that you can kind of stumble upon. Everything for teachers or administrators, I just feel like it goes on and on and on. So lots to celebrate there too.
If you happen to be able to see this on the screen, and you mentioned Sarah Jesse, huge shout out, who just has this incredible gift for graphic design. I remember when I had the opportunity to write and have my Teach Better blogs published, you just feel professional and cared for when Sarah has your article in mind and creates this original graphic design. Of course, that's all shared on our social media. And if you're watching or listening live or later, you've got something exciting to join to add to the conversation as well. It is so easy to be a Teach Better blogger, and we would love to have an opportunity to have you write for the Teach Better team, for the Teach Better blog, and to amplify your voice. It's incredible.
Yeah, it'd be great. The form to submit to be a guest blogger is just on the blog site. Scroll all the way down. It's one of the last little buttons, and it says, like, it's really big, like, become a blogger. You can't miss it. So if you need any help, let us know. Brad, I think we should transition into our conversation today. Our Sunday Strategies is a listener question that I would really love to have your thoughts on, and everyone in the comments. You'd be really, really great to participate with this. So should you transition here?
Sounds great.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to our Sunday weekly warm-up. We are in our Sunday strategies, and today our strategies is all focused on a listener question. I love that they submitted this listener question. Direct message us in on whatever social media platforms you guys want. You can email us. We're always here to help you and answer your questions. Brad, this one I like a lot because it says, Dear Teach Better Family Helpline.
Love that. Love that.
Love that. Says here, I'm a middle school teacher trying to create an engaging environment. Currently, my classroom setup is traditional with rows of desks facing the front. I've incorporated some colorful posters and designed a reading corner in the back, but I feel like the environment lacks a little excitement. Any suggestions on how I can redesign my classroom to foster more interaction and creativity among students without adding distractions for students? Sincerely, Seeking Classroom Inspiration.
Dear Seeking Classroom Inspiration, thank you for contacting us here at the Teach Better Helpline. Ray and I are going to dive into this question. Absolutely, a great question. And, you know, even though we're approaching the end of the school year in many of our districts, Ray, this is a fantastic reminder that it's never too late, or there's always an opportunity to reinvent, refine, re-energize, or a really opportune time to reflect on your classroom setup so far, what's worked for you, and where you're looking to add things and to really make it even more dynamic for the coming school year.
Yeah, friends, I'm not sure what resources you have available. We actually do a flexible seating guide for any of you who are interested in going to our downloads page. That probably isn't what this teacher is necessarily looking to do right off the bat. That takes some time. But something I would love to encourage our community members here is to think out of the box. I was able, Brad, during my time in the classroom to get some grant funding, and classroom furniture is really expensive. Like it's kind of like a wedding dress, like because it's white, it's more expensive. And I find it funny that I feel like classroom furniture is the same way. I even went as far and tried to pull my networking skills to try and get somebody to donate or give me a discount. And these companies were like pretty stringent on the amount of money that these things cost, which again, respect, but it wasn't going to work for my budget, and especially not for the grant I got. What I ended up doing, Brad, was going to Amazon and thinking through what I wanted and ordering furniture that maybe aesthetically wasn't what you're supposed to have, but it made for so much flexible seating. And I really liked it, Brad. One of the best things I ever did was I got folding tables, like white folding tables.
Yeah.
And I got bed risers. So depending on the environment that we wanted to have in the classroom that week, that day, whatever, you could change it up so quickly with tables. And when you didn't want any furniture, you could very easily kind of hide it in the corner. Because like you noted, at the end of the year, it's not too late to change things up. And one of the last projects I used to do with my students last few weeks was literally there would be no furniture in the classroom because we had this big project we were working on, and being able to kind of push the furniture to the side or easily fold it up was really nice. So I know it doesn't necessarily answer her question. We can get to some seating designs, but flexible seating is a great way, and definitely think about being creative with that.
I think touching on the listener question or the reader question that the desks are sort of set up more traditionally, one quick and maybe economical way that she could or the he or she could shift to flexible seating is by working with your custodian or facility staff and adding a tennis ball onto the bottom of each traditional desk. Sometimes they are marketed especially for furniture, and I know that they especially go on the bottom of chairs to minimize the noise of chairs going in and out. But if you've got tennis balls and put sort of a cross cut on each tennis ball, pop them on the bottom of your traditional desk leg, and then the desks will slide much more easily and much more quietly, and you can quickly reconfigure them according to whatever your need might be.
Well, and what I love about that, Brad, is that that's keeping everything you already have. It's adding an element that hopefully is inexpensive for the building, maybe even to give you support in. And that way you can actually teach your students how to change their desk based on what activity is going on. Maybe you keep it in rows for the beginning of class, and then you teach students to, everyone's going to swivel to the left or swivel to the right to make groups of four or five or six. And now you have great variety without a lot of noise. That could be a great option.
Well, you mentioned involving students in the configuration, and actually for this reader, for this contributor of the question, this is a question I'd actually pose to your class, whether they're in first grade or 11th grade, pose the question to your class and have them brainstorm what they would like to see, what would make them excited and light up when they come in. Not every suggestion they're going to have is going to be able to translate successfully into the classroom, but they're given voice, they're given an opportunity to do some brainstorming, and you never know what wonderful idea might come out of just inviting the class to participate in that process.
I love that. I also love the opportunity to do more of a U or a circle in the classroom, give some space in the middle. Again, this is all about thinking through what's going to work best for your teaching style. Our hope as a Teach Better team is always to encourage you to do more than just speak at the students. So while all the desks facing forward work pretty well when you're standing at the front talking at students, it's not always conducive to other forms of learning that we'd really want to encourage our community to do here. So involving students in the conversation is enormous, and maybe doing a little audit of the type of things that your students should be doing or things that you wish your students could be doing during the learning experience might give you some idea of the type of formations you're looking for, whether to create more space, look at some collaboration, or anything in between.
Well, you mentioned audit, Ray, and that brings to mind an audit that I would love to share with our community and post it as an add-on to our recording. And that's an audit that comes from selfreg.ca, selfreg.ca. It's a way of auditing your class for the additional stresses or stressors that may contribute to, I guess, a lack of regulation, or it's a way to, as you're developing your classroom, taking a critical look around to make sure that you are reducing a visual, auditory, space or motion stressors, any barriers that you can have. Because I mean, the classroom environment itself can either contribute to or exacerbate tension or stress in your environment. And this audit that I'm going to share would actually be a great companion to any kind of classroom changes you might be looking at making.
So fun. For those of you who are looking for some classroom changes, maybe in the physical layout of your classroom, I also would love to point you toward our blogs. I know we've mentioned this before, but we've done plenty of blogs, I know, in the past on classroom management with physical objects in the classroom, flexible seating, different formations. We have a full course in our academy on using physical space to kind of evolve and support a mentor you might be working with. So yep, there's a lot to do with this. We know that this is a common thing that educators are looking for. I love this question so much. And I hope maybe, Brad, that this educator feels the freedom to play a little bit with this in May, because the reality is that the testing should be over, kind of wrapping up some units. This would be a really cool opportunity to say, okay, we have 4 weeks left. Like, how can my students, having been here for a year, reimagine this classroom? Because they're just as much experts in it as I am.
Particularly, Ray, if you are continuing to think about how to keep kids engaged in high quality, high outcome, high expectation learning right to the final bell, whether that's in May or June. If you can align your configuration with learning experiences that continue to light kids up, in spite of the lack of energy that we may feel at the end of the academic year, I think so much the better.
So good. All right, friends, we're going to transition to our Sunday Sparks, which is a little sparkle in our day. Before we wrap up this conversation, stick with us. Hey everyone, thank you for joining our Sunday weekly warm-up. Here is our spark for the day before we wrap up the conversation. Brad Hughes, what do you got for us?
Ray, I've got really an enchanting and uplifting story that's just right to celebrate the end of the academic year. And this came to me on Instagram from the Good News Reports account. The headline is 34 years of students surprise choral director an hour before his final concert by serenading him with The Rainbow Connection by Jim Henson. So this educator arrived for his final concert. If you're watching this live, you can see the video. He descends the stairs and he could see and hear his current students singing, but then the alumni singers come out from behind both sides of the stairs. 34 years of students celebrating this music educator in his career, right? We can just imagine the emotion welling up as years and years of students with this impact that have found a place, found a voice, found a community in the music room are celebrating. I thought there was a wonderful uplift for the end of our evening and the end of the academic year.
So cool.
The Rainbow Connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me. And that, once again, was at Good News Reports, Ray. A great story, a great recognition and celebration of the impact of our educators in the lives of our young people. You never know where those ripples might end. It might end in a concert where you're being serenaded by over 30 years of students that you've taught. It's just incredible.
Ugh, I have chills. That's so special. I love when educators are able to see the fruits of their labor. And friends, we are in a profession where that rarely is the case. So maybe this is also a moment to reflect this month. Can you do something to reconnect your students and have them reconnect with you in the future so you get those updates? I know it's such a selfish thing, but I feel like every time students leave, I'd be like, I can't wait to see you do great things. Like, make sure to let me know how fabulous you turn out, right? Like, how can I support you? So this could be a good little call to action as well for us to think through how are we going to keep those 30 years of students connected to us? Because gosh, those are always impactful moments. I love that, Brad. Great addition.
Appreciate that. And it really is a gift. You know, one of the many gifts of being an educator is knowing or discovering, you know, the different lives that you've impacted, and also reflecting on how our own lives as educators is impacted by interactions with kids and families over the years. Nothing like it, Ray. Love being in education.
So good. Friends, we hope that you have an incredible week ahead and those Sunday scaries are exciting. Instead, exciting feelings for everything that you have planned. We are wrapping up April and heading into May, which is just such an unbelievable blessing. Brad, thanks for being on the show with me today. And sorry for the hiccup at the beginning, but it made for a funny start.
It sure does. I mean, any opportunity to go live with you, Ray, is a fantastic one. Doesn't matter what the background is. It's the people that are on the screen, the people that we connect with both online and later that really make the difference.
Friends, make sure you are on our email list to get all the good things that are going on this month with the Teach Better team. Not only our weekly deals that have just blown up for those of you that are on our email list, getting those every single Monday. And of course, our Teacher Appreciation Week that will be happening not this week, but next week as we celebrate educators a lot of stuff going on. So thanks so much, friends. We'll see you later. Have a good Sunday.